Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there. My name is Sam Maxwell, and welcome to the Bedford and Sullivan Podcast, the podcast that keeps you, the audience, active listeners in the Brooklyn Dodgers TV series research process. And I am very, very happy to bring on retired AP writer Hal Bach to the program. How you doing, Hal?
Good to be with you, Sam.
Well, first off, you put together this great book about Willard Mullen, and it's fantastic. I certainly want to get to the book, but I don't want to assume anybody out there exactly knows who Willard Mullen is. So if you could give us a little background on who Willard Mullen is and how you came about writing the book or putting together the book.
Well, Willard Mullen was the most important sports cartoonist at a time when newspapers carried sports cartoons. He was syndicated by Scripps Howard News Service, and he appeared here in New York in the New York World Telegram and Sun. And he did cartoons 6 days a week. And he invented some of the most iconic mascots in the history of baseball. He is the guy who came up with the Brooklyn Dodger bum, who was an iconic figure. I mean, he was the mascot. He was the guy that you identified with the Dodgers. Mullen also came up, and, you know, instead of the St. Louis Cardinals, the simple symbol of the Cardinals would be the bird. Well, Mullen came up with a St. Louis Swifty, a riverboat gambler on the Mississippi. His imagination was fantastic. When the Phillies won the pennant in 1950 with a young team, Mullen labeled them the Whiz Kids, and he had a little juvenile delinquent with a slingshot hanging out of his back pocket. Stuff like that. That was typical Willard Mullen. He had a whimsical sense of humor, and he translated it with pen and ink on a daily basis.
Well, looking at some of them, he had these great caricatures when it comes to something like the Brooklyn Bums and great cartoons in a way. But he was also very, very sound when it came to actual human structure and just natural drawings of human beings and their and
without question, Sam. I mean, he could draw great portraits. He had great portraits, and they're in the book, of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, fabulous portraits. And people would say to him, "You're an artist," and he said, no, I'm not an artist. I'm a cartoonist." So he was very proud of his profession.
So how did you get this book put together?
Well, as I said, Mullen was a headliner here in New York for many, many years, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I read his piece every day in the World Telegram. I mean, it's the first thing you would see on the sports pages. It dominated the sports pages. And I was fascinated with his work, and I was privileged to work at the World Telegram and Sun. My first job in journalism was a part-time job at the World Telegram, and I saw some of his creations being created. So that was a great moment for me. As the years went by, I mourned the fact that he was no longer drawing. And I thought to myself, what a great thing it would be to bring a collection of his drawings together in one volume so that they could be enjoyed by a new generation of sports fans. And it took 10 years to get this idea sold and the cartoons collected and the book published. But it was a worthwhile effort, and I'm very proud of the Willard Mullen book, the Willard Mullen's Golden Age of Baseball.
You know, for somebody like me who's 28 years old and being fascinated by this era and these, especially this kind of stuff, it's nice that the Internet exists and that some people have taken some really sharp photos or scans of some of his work. But what you've done is really put together some of the best of the best that's just right here at my fingertips, but not in the new age way. And I like having the actual paper in front of me. It's really a fantastic book, and everybody out there should go to Amazon and purchase a copy right now. So you mentioned that you became a sports journalist. Go all the way back to childhood. When did it first pique your interest?
As a kid growing up in New York, we had three New York baseball teams, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Giants. And baseball was number one the number one sport in this town. And I was fascinated with it as a little boy at 7, 8 years old. And my father took me to my first baseball game in 1947. It was the Mayor's Trophy game between the Giants and Yankees. It was an annual charity game which benefited the Sandlot baseball programs in here in New York. And so now I walk into the Polo Grounds, which was an old ballpark where the Giants played, and you're 8 years old. You don't know where to look first. I mean, your eye just, you're dazzled by the size of the scope of this place, and grass greener grass than you've ever seen before in your life, seats that seem to reach up into the sky, and light towers. And I mean, it's an amazing experience for a little kid. And I'm looking around, and my eye catches a structure that's hanging off the second deck. And I asked my father, what is that? And he said, oh, that's the press box. It's press box. What is the press box? He said, that's where the writers sit. I said, the writers? And he said, yeah, they come here every day. That's their job. I said, let me ask you, the writers come here every day and their job is to watch a baseball game? And he said, yes. And I thought, oh, well, I think I found my dream job. And so right. When I was 8 years old, I decided this was what I wanted to do.
And Willard Mullen, I'm sure, had a lot to, even though you didn't get into sports cartooning, Willard Mullen had a lot to do with that love.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a magic time. When you consider the material that he had to work with three New York baseball teams, and Mullen was not limited to baseball. This book is limited to baseball, but Mullen's work covered the entire scope of the sports spectrum. He did boxing, he did track and field, he did basketball, he did hockey, he did football, he did everything. And it was just, he was a terrific cartoonist. He was great.
So could you say maybe you're the Willard Mullen of the sports journalist New World?
I'd like to believe that.
you covered all different kinds of sports. Go over a bit of your career for those that might be a little bit ignorant to it.
Well, I set out as a kid wanting to be a baseball writer, and as I grew up, I recognized that there was more to sports than baseball. So I tried to broaden my approach to my business, and I was fortunate enough to cover everything. I mean, I covered every Olympics between 1976 and 2000 in Sydney. I covered boxing championships. I was there when Roberto Duran said no mas in New Orleans against Sugar Ray Leonard. I covered a lot of Mike Tyson fights. I covered basketball, the finals of the NBA. I covered the Stanley Cup championships. And I was proud to say that when I retired, I had covered more Super Bowls and more World Series than any AP reporter in history. Now, that's changed because I've been retired for a while, but that was an achievement that I was very proud of.
And congratulations to you on that in retrospect. You know, obviously, it's about 10 years later, but thank you for putting in that work and bringing this sports world to us. Now, baseball still is your favorite sport. What brings you back to that game?
I always felt that baseball was the best game because it's a cerebral game. There is no time limit in baseball. In basketball, you have, in college basketball, 40 minutes. In pro basketball, 48 minutes. Hockey is a 60-minute game. The same thing for football. The clock runs out on you. Not in baseball. It never runs out. I covered a game at Shea Stadium between the Mets and the Cardinals in 1974 that went 25 innings. It was 3-1 in the ninth inning. Jerry Kuzman was breezing against the Cardinals, and a guy named Ken Reitz hit a two-run homer with two out in the ninth inning to tie the game at 3-3. And now we go. And 25 innings they played that night. And in the 25th inning, a guy named Bake McBride got on first base, and the Mets had a relief pitcher named Hank Webb. Hank Webb's son now pitches for the Miami Marlins. And Webb was a left-hander, and he looked over at McBride, and he threw over trying to keep McBride close to the base because McBride could run. And he threw the ball away. And in the press box, at that moment, there were an awful lot of writers cheering for Bake McBride to run. And he did. He scored from first base on a wild pickoff throw, and that was the winning run in a 4-3 game. So that's the attraction. For me, that's the attraction of baseball, that there is no time limit, that it is proactive, not reactive. Mm-hmm. It's a game it's a game for the ages.
And the Mets seem to have a bunch of these extra inning games that go close to 20. Obviously, there was the St. Louis game a couple of years ago in 2010, actually, against St. Louis, excuse me. And this year they lost something that I had to recap it for the Mets blog that I write. That was I do the Saturday recap, and they decided to go 20 innings with the Marlins.
It's remarkable, isn't it, how they get themselves involved in these games?
Well, you know, it says a lot about basically this year, specifically the way they kept playing all these extra inning games, and they come through in a few, but they had some problems winning at home. To digress to modern baseball real quick, but they were just terrible at walking off. They couldn't. They had a bunch of walk offs this year, but they couldn't walk off when in these extra inning games in Citi Field. I mean, I'd like to take a look at exactly what the record was regarding that. But I remember some good walk offs, but I mostly remember just get it done, and they wouldn't get it done.
Their roster is a work in progress, I'm afraid.
Yeah, right, exactly. You were born in the Bronx. You lived up in the Bronx. How did you become a Giants fan? And you know, what didn't you like about the Yankees?
I grew up in the Bronx. That's correct. And I was introduced to baseball by my father, who was a Giant. He had grown up as a Giants fan in the year of McGraw and Frankie Frisch and those guys. And he said to me, the Giants are the best team, and that's the team you should root for. And so I did. And now, what did I not like about the Yankees? I didn't like the fact that they were a dynasty. I didn't like the idea that every year the Yankees were in the World Series. I wanted it to be more spread around. And I thought that they were very full of themselves because they won every year. So growing up in the Bronx and growing up in a neighborhood where we all had our own teams, we had a lot of Dodger fans, we had a lot of Giants fans, and we had a lot of Yankee fans. And it was a great time in my life, and I'll always remember it.
So you would say all over the tri-state area, it was rather evenly distributed when it came to the three teams.
Yeah, I believe it was. You know, the Dodgers had their following, largely in Brooklyn, obviously.
Right.
The Yankees, because they were almost aristocratic and so successful, had their following. And the Giants had a loyalty as well. So, and Mullen, you know, capitalized on this. I mean, he was a Giants fan. Why, I couldn't tell you, but he was. And so when he created the images of the three teams, the Brooklyn Dodger bum was his, you know, his landmark moment. That was the best of all. Mm-hmm. He created this a giant, obviously, became a bulbous character with a little tiny head and a huge body, and he named him Willie. Now, why he named him Willie, nobody seems to know, but he did.
And he named him Willie before Willie Mays.
Yeah, before Willie Mays, yeah. And the Yankee character was just an aristocratic guy who walked around with his chest out, proud as pudding, because he was a champion every year. So those were Mullen's three images for the New York teams. But the Dodger bum is the classic. You know how that was created, right? Did I tell you the story of how that was created?
I know the story, and I've actually written it in script form, but by all means, please.
Sure. Mullen, as we all do, we all go to the ballpark to get stories, and Mullen went to the ballpark to get ideas for his cartoons. And he was at Ebbets Field one day for a doubleheader. And he sat through the first game, and he sat through four or five innings of the second game, and now it was time to go back to the office. So he left the ballpark, and he hailed a cab. And he got in the cab, and the driver said, "How did our bums do today?" And that struck a chord with Mullen because the driver didn't say, how did the bums do today or those bums? The driver said, how did our bums do today? And Mullen interpreted that to mean that the Dodgers were truly a hometown team. They belonged to the borough of Brooklyn. So he created a bum. Until then, he had the image of the Dodgers for Mullen was a clown because they were pretty much a clownish team. I mean, they had three guys wind up in third base one day.
Yeah.
So he used the clown as the image. And when the taxi driver made this remark about the bums, the bum became the image of the Dodgers. And he evolved over the years. The first bum was not really very captivating, if you want my opinion. He's in the book, but it was not really the bum that we came to know and love. I mean, and when the bum, as I said, the bum evolved, and he was a kind of a proud character, down on his luck, kind of wore a tatted coat and a batted hat and that sort of thing. And now in 1957, Walter O'Malley takes the Dodgers to California, to Los Angeles. And Mullen was confronted with, what do I do now? Well, he transformed the bum into a Hollywood character. He gave him a beret, he gave him a pair of short pants, a checkered shirt, and then instead of a stub of a cigar in his mouth, he had a cigarette holder. He was typical Los Angeles, Hollywood. He had gone Hollywood. So Mullen was capable of making those kind of changes when they were called for.
Yeah, I just found that Baseball Official Guide, 1960 edition. And he also did some great Mets yearbooks in the 1969 World Series. These are some fantastic ones. And, you know, he stuck with the kid version of Mr. Met.
When the Mets were born in 1962, they enlisted Willard Mullen, who was the leading cartoonist of that time, to create a character, create an image for the Mets. So Mullen drew a little kid. He, because he was the new kid on the block, drew a little kid, and he used his grandson as the model. His grandson was Teddy Rhodes. His daughter Shirley's son, Teddy, was the model for the first image of the Mets, and he appears on the yearbook cover in 1962.
So what is your earliest Willard Mullen memory?
Oh, I would say as a kid growing up, looking in the paper every day and frequently seeing the Brooklyn bum, the Brooklyn Dodger bum, and thinking, what an interesting way to portray the Dodgers. But it was a perfect portrayal, frankly.
You know, another thing that I see a lot in these cartoons is the satirizing of players asking for money, for contract negotiations, and it's really interesting to me that different time, considering the way things are done now. Tell me about that kind of environment of back in the day with not only Willard Mullen and these players negotiating contracts, but what was the public perception of players who were demanding too much money or wanted a lot of money?
Well, you have to remember that Mullen arrived in New York in 1934, this is the teeth of the Great Depression. And there were holdouts throughout that era because players wanted a living wage. And I'm not talking millions, I'm talking thousands.
Right.
And Mullen had a feeling for those people who were on the lower end of the economic barometer. And so there's a portrayal in the book of a guy down on his luck sitting on a park bench, and he's surrounded by newspapers talking about DiMaggio holding out and Ted Williams holding out and so forth. And the message was, how can these guys hold out when many people can't even find a job for just a living wage? So Mullen had a sympathy for the economic condition of the country in those days, and he sympathized with the man in the street.
I was lucky enough to turn to it right as you were talking about it, and yeah, this is a fantastic cartoon.
I insisted on that cartoon being in the book because I found it so compelling.
Yeah, it's very, very compelling. And then, you know, in the overcoat, it says help wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some other underrated, if you will, you know, we all know about the Brooklyn Bum and some of these Giants yearbooks as well, and of course the Mets. What are some of your favorites that maybe people haven't seen too much of?
As I said, I was a Giants fan growing up. And in 1951, I was 12 years old, and that's the great Giants win the pennant playoff against the Dodgers. And you have to understand that the rivalry between the Giants and Dodgers here in New York was fierce. I mean, it was fierce. So the fact that they wound up in the playoffs together, in the playoff for the pennant together, just added to it. And the way it ended with Bobby Thompson's dramatic home run was a perfect ending as far as I was concerned. And for Mullen, it was the perfect ending too, because, as I said earlier, he was a Giants fan. He was a great Giants fan. And he labeled that stretch run when the Giants won 37 out of 44 games the little miracle of Coogan's Bluff, because they had been 13 and a half games behind in August, the middle of August. 13 and a half games in the middle of August, the season is over. I mean, you can just pack your bags and figure you're going to go home. But the Giants went on this great run of 37 wins in 44 games and caught the Dodgers. And Mullen labeled that the little miracle of Coogan's Bluff. Coogan's Bluff was the area where the Polo Grounds was located here in New York. He also labeled Bobby Thompson's home run the shot that was heard around the world. Mullen was great with stuff like that. I mean, you guys who are listening know that Lou Gehrig was called the Iron Horse. Well, the man who called Lou Gehrig the Iron Horse first was Willard Mullen. And he was just great with stuff like that. He had labels. He often used poetry in his cartoons, odes to the players that he was drawing. I mean, the man was multi-talented.
I'm looking at one right now. I turn to Sal Magley, and he's using some poetry in this one about Magley and the 51
mm-hmm.
And there's this great one that you were talking about. It seems as if it's before the playoff because it has a big giant walking away. It says 37-1 of last 44. The bum is on the floor looking like he's been knocked out. Now I got a razzle. You two out of three. And I was supposed to be resting. And then the Yankee guy is just standing over the side and saying, don't get yourself all tuckered out, boys.
That's perfect. That's perfect, Mullen. He incorporated the whole story in that one cartoon, didn't he?
Exactly. Tell me about this candle cartoon with all these different names.
Well, Mullen was a great man about town, and he was also a great. He was a member of the sports community, an important member of the sports community. So, I mean, at this time of the year, we all get Christmas cards and holiday cards, and when you get a card, you respond and so forth. Well, if he was going to respond to all the cards that he got, he'd have no time to draw any cartoons. So he came up with the idea of incorporating all of the names of his friends and people who would send him cards, all of their names in a cartoon, in a holiday-themed cartoon. So one of the cartoons that he did was a Christmas candle, and that candle is composed of all names of people in the sports business and in the sports world. He also did one when the Giants left town. He drew a cartoon of his classic Giant, the big bulbous character, and it was composed of all the names of Giant players down through the years. He was remarkable that way. He could do that, and it took him some time, but he did it. He also did a cartoon. I'm pretty sure it's in the book. He did a cartoon of the great Toots Shore. Younger people won't know who Toots Shore is. Toots Shore was a great restaurateur here in New York, and his restaurant was a hangout for the sports crowd. Everybody who was in sports would congregate in his restaurant. And so Mullen drew a cartoon of the bar at Toots Shore's, and you could see all of the familiar faces of that time. Just a great cartoon, and it typified Mullen because Mullen was pals with all those people.
again, I abhor everybody to go buy this book. It's Willard Mullen's Golden Age of Baseball Drawings, 1934 to 1972. You can find it on Amazon.com. Al, thank you very, very much for joining me, and you're welcome anytime to talk more about the era. Come on, come back on.
Pleasure to do it, Sam.
Absolutely. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Thank you. The same to you.
All right. That's our show, everybody. Have a good one. Take care.